Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Talisman Tales by Danielle Garrett. Narrated by Amanda Ronconi. 1.
You'd better start talking,
Celine growled, sharpening her claws on the side of an armchair stuffed in the corner of the crowded psychic shop. The place was in ruins, thanks to her blasting spell, and the shop's owner, Hannah Snowberry, wasn't in the frame of mind to protest as Celine shredded through the woven fabric. She was too busy keeping her eyes on August Nell, the man who had held a gun to her head only moments ago. The gun was now in my possession, and I wasn't planning on giving it up anytime soon, though I kept it at my side. "Who has Aunt Lavender?" I demanded. August gave the weapon a pointed glance.
"Maybe we could carry on the conversation without that?"
"Fat chance," Clint interjected. He stood by the front of the demolished shop, doing his best impression of a club bouncer, his arms folded over his chest. He wasn't as big as the stereotypical bouncers from the movies, but if looks could kill, August would have a softball-sized hole through his chest, given the way Clint was staring at his back. August frowned, his eyes flicking to one side, though he didn't bother glancing over his shoulder to meet Clint's gaze.
"You said you would take us to her," I snapped, not relenting. "Where is she?"
"My offer wasn't some kind of gift, Cora,"
August sneered, returning his attention to me, and the gun I'd pulled off him.
"It was more the opening offer of a negotiation, if you will."
"Slippery little snake," Celine spat. "The rats will like you just fine."
Turning to me, her bright blue eyes sparked with danger.
"Just shoot him, Cora. I'll take care of the body."
"Tempting," I said. "But no, at least not yet." The last part was largely for August's benefit. I knew I couldn't kill him, or anyone. I figured if I'd managed to get this far without testing Celine's theory of her own immortality, I probably didn't have it in me.
"I know Lavender has one half of the Golden Lotus,"
August continued, undeterred.
"And in the interest of transparency, I will tell you I am in possession of the other half."
My eyes narrowed. "But you said you didn't kidnap her."
"That's right. I didn't."
August frowned.
"That was the work of Winslow Anterhill, my business partner."
He hesitated over the last part, which raised new questions from the tangled web of theories and doubts swirling around my mind. "And why would he take Aunt Lavender and keep her hostage all this time?" I demanded, my patience wearing thin. Heat sparked in August's eyes. He glanced at the gun again, as though reminding himself why he was suddenly spilling his guts there in the rubble of the psychic shop. Briefly, I let my finger graze over the trigger while keeping the weapon pointed at the floor.
"It's a long story, but the gist of it is that I am in debt to him. For a sum so large it would make you choke."
He gave a judgmental glance at my scuffed sneakers and attire.
"I didn't have the means to settle it, so I struck a bargain with him. I would give him my half of the Golden Lotus and help him find the other half. As I'm sure you've figured out by now, it's a treasure far beyond money. Though, knowing Winslow, he'll find a way to squeeze every drop of wealth from it in the end."
Bitterness tinged August's words, the lines around his eyes and mouth going taut as he spoke.
"In truth, it was a stalling tactic,"
he continued.
"Everyone worth their salt in the treasure-hunting world knows that the Golden Lotus is lost to the ages. Or so everyone thought, including myself. But Winslow is a determined man. One doesn't reach the dizzying heights of his wealth and power without determination. He hired a sorcerer who claimed to be able to reveal the owner of the other half.
Yeah, and I have an oceanside condo in Hades I'd like to sell you,
Celine interjected. She'd stopped sharpening her claws, but the look in her eyes was no less murderous.
Oh, believe me, I thought it was some kind of scam, too, August replied with a scoff. The spell took 3 months to perform and cost a small fortune. But in the end, it worked. Using some kind of scrying mirror, the sorcerer revealed a woman purchasing the other half of the flower from a stall at a flea market in a non-magic part of Croatia. I just about fainted. Not only did the spell work, but I realized I'd seen the woman before. At Salvatore's library.
The sick feeling in the bottom of my stomach redoubled, as I realized that if not for August's presence in that room, Aunt Lavendar might very well be at home now, curled up under a blanket, with Celine lounging on her lap. August seemed to overhear my thoughts because he cleared his throat and added,
He would have found out who she was eventually, even without my help. He would have hired a sketch artist and a private investigator, or a whole fleet of private investigators, more likely. Your aunt is well known within the treasure-hunting world. It wouldn't have taken him long to track her down.
Oh, well, then, all is clearly forgiven, Celine quipped. Her tail flicked faster, her agitation growing more palpable.
August inclined his head.
I'm not asking to be absolved. I won't make excuses for my part in this, but you should know the wheels would have been set in motion even without my involvement. A secret as big as this one couldn't stay hidden forever.
Maybe not forever, but the Golden Lotus and even Oban's tome were maintained as mysteries for centuries. Without you, Aunt Lavendar may have kept her part concealed, eventually taking it to the grave with her. Celine looked up at me, and I wondered if she was thinking of the Lotus's original hiding place in Aunt Lavendar's grave plot. What had the woman's plan been? Would she have moved it again to another hiding place before her own death? She hadn't buried it deeply enough to simply be placed over the top of it. Perhaps she would have eventually told me or Evan about it and arranged for it to be buried with her. I hoped I would get the chance to ask her myself.
Winslow is ruthless. But at the heart of it, he is a businessman.
August barreled on, not awarding my argument any points.
He sees the Fountain of Youth as a fountain of money, plain and simple. I've made an arrangement with him to allow my brother the first drink, in hopes it will cure him of his terminal illness. After that, it turns into just another business opportunity. My debt to Winslow will be clear, and Arthur will get his life back.
I arched an eyebrow. And I suppose you'll also get a generous cut of the profits, too. August looked at me with confusion in his cool eyes, as though he simply couldn't fathom the meaning of my question.
Of course. I've done more than half the work, so why shouldn't I?
So all this song and dance about your sick twin brother is purely secondary. You're doing this for you, August. You're doing it to save your own skin and pad your own pockets. August's jaw flexed, but he didn't argue with me. Shaking my head, I set the gun down on the desk beside me. The weight of it was too much to bear. My adrenaline had ebbed, leaving me drained and exhausted. My magic reserves were still low, and combined with the terror of the evening, I felt like a wrung-out sponge. Flicking my gaze back to August, I lifted my chin. Who did the blood oath? Confining Tabitha to keep your secret about Aunt Lavendar?
I did,
he replied without hesitation. I suppose it shouldn't have surprised me. He'd already admitted to an assortment of vile and illegal acts. And yet somehow the way he so easily copped to turning Tabitha into a block of granite struck me anyway, sending a chill up my spine.
I say we give Warden Quinton a jingle. And let her come throw this one in the bottom of the darkest isolation pits at the Order's detention center, Celine said, staring up at me.
If you do that, not only will you never find your aunt, but your own lives, along with your mother, brother, and his family, will be forfeit,
August said, stating the threat as calmly as though we were discussing a bank transaction.
What is that supposed to mean?
Clint demanded, stalking forward a few paces and pinning August between the three of us with little wiggle room. Hannah, for her part, remained silent, curled in on herself as she sat on the floor, her back against the wall, watching with wide eyes. I couldn't be sure whether she would help us if August tried anything, or if she was even capable, given her current mental state.
Winslow knows who you are, and what you're doing. I may have been the one to rope Tabitha into helping me keep you two off my tracks, but Winslow is the one having you followed. Surely you've seen the car outside your house, or felt the distinct chill of being followed when you leave your shop.
Ice ran through my veins.
Enough with the veiled words and threats, Celine snapped, her hackles raising. You want something from us. Name your terms.
It's simple, August said, his lips twisting into an almost smile. You give me Lavender's half of the Lotus, and I will arrange for her release. It's the same deal we attempted to make with her, though she's resisted to this point.
You expect us to believe you? That after all this time, you'll just let her go?
August canted his head to one side. It's a simple business arrangement, Cora. You hold up your end, and I will hold up mine.
I want proof she's safe, I said, holding my head up. I want to speak to her before I make my decision. August's expression morphed into deep disappointment. Clearly, he was used to getting his way with far less effort.
What is it with you hearth witches?
He muttered, fishing into his pocket. Clint stiffened.
Hey? Relax.
August sighed, pulling his phone out. He held it up, his other hand gesturing to give him some space. He tapped at the screen, then turned the device to face me. A video feed played, the time and date stamped at the bottom. It was in real time. The room was small, but cozy, with wood floors, a modest fireplace, a bed, and writing desk. And before the hearth sat a wingback armchair. Celine leaped up onto the desk beside the gun, stepping over it to get closer to August's phone.
There she is.
I nodded, my eyes never leaving the gray-haired woman sitting in the chair, a knitted blanket draped over her legs, and a large book opened across her lap.
She's perfectly safe, August said, giving us another moment's glance. At least for the time being, he added, sliding the device back into his pocket.
My heart ached all the more with the image of Aunt Lavender snuffed out.
Your death will be painful and slow if you hurt so much as one hair on her head, Celine growled.
There was no question she meant it. I might not have killer instincts, but my familiar had far fewer qualms about such things.
Then make the deal, August said. Give me her half of the Lotus, and this will all be over. Please.
A voice squeaked from the other side of the room. Hannah Snowberry pushed up to her feet, though she still looked rather unstable.
Please, just do as he says.
Hannah clasped a small jade sculpture in her hands, twisting it back and forth, and for a moment I wondered if she was thinking up the words to a spell or incantation. She was a psychic, though I didn't know enough about her to fully understand or guess at what other powers she might possess. What about her? I asked, looking back to August.
I won't say anything to anyone, I swear,
Hannah exclaimed, nearly dropping the jade cat.
You don't have to hurt me. She's a loose thread,
August said, his tone chirping.
Winslow already sent me here to handle it. He won't be pleased if he finds out I didn't finish the job.
Why are you the one he sent? I wouldn't expect a pretty boy like you to enjoy getting his manicured hands bloody,
Celine growled, her tail flicking. It was a good question. August hadn't been the one to physically abduct Aunt Lavender, so clearly there were other options for this sort of thing.
I don't,
August replied to my familiar, his expression grim.
I never wanted things to get this far. I thought we would put a little scare into the old lady, take the Lotus, and have her home before Wheel of Fortune was finished. It was never supposed to turn out like this.
He paused, looking at Hannah. There was something that looked like remorse in his eyes, but the set of his jaw was no less determined.
"Garbage collection is tomorrow," Celine said, flicking her tail. "If we get him into the dumpster tonight, he'll be on his way to a landfill where he belongs by tomorrow night. No one would miss him, at least not for long."
August breathed a hollow laugh, his eyes distant.
"You're probably right."
"We can't, Celine," I said. "He's the only one who knows where Aunt Lavendar is, and how to get her free." Celine's ethereal blue eyes snapped open wide as she swiveled her head to look at me.
"You can't be seriously considering this, Cora."
"What choice do we have?"
"I just told you. Mincemeat, dumpster, rats. Do try to keep up."
"He has people watching your mother,"
August added, interrupting the bickering. "I've been the only thing keeping him from having her brought in to try and convince Lavendar to go along with us." Celine hissed, lunging toward August's ankles. Intercepting her, I squared my shoulders and swallowed the bile that rose in my throat. "We will give you the half of the lotus. In exchange, you will take us to Lavendar, and you will agree to break Tabitha's curse and free her. And my mom is to be left out of this." The last part came from between gritted teeth. Celine swore darkly.
"I can't take you to Lavendar tonight," August replied tersely.
He checked his watch and swore under his breath.
This was all supposed to be done by now.
Another chill went up the back of my neck. How could he speak so casually about taking another person's life? To hear him, it made me think that he'd compartmentalized the whole thing down to just another item to check off his executive day planner. As simple as unplugging a floor lamp. Moving between him and Hannah, I conjured my last remaining bits of magic. It wouldn't carry much firepower, that was already spent, but August didn't know what I was capable of. He didn't know my limits. "And Hannah is coming with us," I told him, my tone leaving no room for argument. "She can stay at my house, and we will keep an eye on her and make sure she doesn't try to contact the police."
"I won't,"
Hannah insisted, nodding vigorously.
I'll stay quiet and out of the way."
August looked at me, his eyes steely and dark, his pupils enlarged in the dimly lit storefront.
"No,"
he said, with a firm shake of his head.
"We can't take that risk."
Before I could blink, a wave of magic blasted me out of the way, and a second powerful spell followed on its heels.
"Cora!"
Clint yelled, lunging forward to catch me before I could crash to the floor. Hannah tried to scream, but the horrified howl couldn't fully leave her lips before it was swallowed up by stone.
"No!"
I cried, scrambling out of Clint's arms to go to the woman's side.
"No, no!" "She's fine,"
August snapped.
"It's temporary."
"What is it with you? And turning everyone into rocks,"
Celine growled, advancing on August.
"Did your mother not love you enough? Did your daddy not take you out and teach you to play catch? What deeply rooted psychological issues led to this?"
Tears splashed onto my cheeks. I'd never felt so small and powerless before in all my life. Not when my dad left, not when the divorce nearly knocked me off my feet. Not when my business got tangled in scandal and I nearly lost everything. It was all too much, and there was nothing I could do. Hannah sat frozen in stone, and it was my fault. If I'd put the pieces together a little quicker, I wouldn't have needed to seek her help in the first place.
"It's reversible,"
August said, ignoring Celine's armchair diagnostics.
"When we're done with our business, I will break the spell, and she won't even remember any of it. She's in a deep sleep state, the same as Tabitha."
Somehow it didn't make me feel better.
"You can't just turn people into paperweights when they get in your way," Celine added.
"Would you prefer I kill her?"
August fired back, gesturing at the gun.
"Because that was the original plan. That's what Winslow wants. Why can't you just go to the police? Or to Warden Quinton? I cried. You don't sound like you want to do any of this, so why are you?
I told you, August growled. This is for Arthur. I can't help him if I'm in prison, or worse.
She's probably someone's sister, friend, daughter. I moved to Hannah's stony side. Does that not matter to you?
Like I said, she's still alive.
Someone will come looking for her, I said, unable to tear my eyes from the fear etched in Hannah's face, a terrible reminder of Tabitha.
It doesn't matter, August said. They won't be able to break the spell. And in the meantime, we can handle our business. And when it's done, you expect us to believe that you'll just come back and set her free?
Clint said. His voice was raw and angry. Stepping away from Hannah, I moved to Clint's side. You're not going to get away with this, August. August's cold mask slipped for a moment, his eyes flashing with a new flare of emotion, similar to the one he'd shown when referencing his brother.
No, he said. I don't expect I will. I've made my choices. This isn't about me anymore, it's about Arthur. Once he's free of his illness, I don't much care what happens to me.
As soon as he finished speaking, he blinked slowly at Hannah, a muscle in his jaw twitching, before he managed to resume his unfeeling countenance.
Let's go. We need to get some rest. Tomorrow morning, first thing, we will go get Tabitha.
2. At least we know Aunt Lavender is safe. And she looked okay, despite it all. It wasn't much, and we all knew it. But it was the only thing I could think to say as Clint, Celine, and I got back into the car. It seemed as though days had passed since we'd first parked it outside Hannah's shop, when in reality, less than a full hour had passed. And somehow everything had changed. August watched us leave from the sidewalk before pulling up his hood, concealing his face in shadows, and disappearing down an alleyway.
I'm sure she's going stir-crazy, Celine said from the back seat.
For once, she hadn't insisted on riding shotgun.
That woman never stays in one place this long. I used to tell her that she intentionally forgot things from her grocery list just so she had an excuse to go back to the store again the next day.
A wistful smile tugged at the corners of my mouth. Somehow I can't even imagine Aunt Lavender sitting still long enough to make a grocery list. Celine breathed a dry laugh.
It took a lot of wrangling on my part, believe me.
I do, I agreed, flicking the cat a glance in the rearview mirror. Her blue eyes still glowed, but not as bright as usual. My heart twisted and ached. For her. For Aunt Lavender. For Mom. I blinked. We have to go tell Mom.
I don't know, Cora, Clint interjected from the passenger seat. If what August said is true, and she's being watched, us showing up in the middle of the night would raise suspicions.
I bit back in argument. I knew he was right, even if I hated it. But she deserves to know. Clint reached across the center console and took my hand. My fingers were ice cold in his. The air puffing through the vents on the dash wasn't yet warmed, though something told me even if it had, I'd still be frozen, like my blood had turned to ice water.
What if we called her? Clint suggested. You can tell her what happened.
I don't know, Celine said. They might have someone listening in, hoping something is said about the Lotus.
Is there a way to tell? I asked Clint, hoping he knew some techie solution. He frowned, his face giving away his answer before he spoke.
I'm sorry, but that's a little out of my league.
What are we supposed to do? I asked, my voice barely above a whisper. We can't just go home and pretend everything is normal. I'll never be able to get to sleep tonight.
We should at least try, Celine said. You need to recharge your magic stores. You're tapped out, Cora.
How do you know? I asked, genuinely curious.
I tried to access your magic when that brute used that stunning spell to knock you out of the way, she said, her whiskers twitching. I was going to rip him into tiny pieces, just like I said. Mincemeat.
I shuddered to think of my magic being responsible for such a thing, even if not under my control. Then again, it was probably an example of Celine talking a big game. In truth, she lobbed similar threats at the neighborhood dogs, who deemed our yard a suitable place to do their doggy business, and she threatened worse things against the squirrels who liked to taunt her from the tree branches as she sat inside, stretched out along the back of the sofa. Thankfully, I'd yet to see her inflict so much as a paper cut. I used too much on the wind spells, I replied, before casting a quick scowl toward the rearview mirror. Which I will remind you I didn't need to do. If you hadn't been so trigger-happy when the ward got tripped, I could have saved myself a lot of energy, magic and otherwise. You might have your 9th life locked down, but I swear, Kat, you're rapidly taking years off mine. Celine muttered something as she stalked to the other end of the bench seat and pressed her nose to the opposite window. Clint chuckled. It was one heck of a wallop you gave me. Wincing, I glanced over at him. Sorry. It took me another half a heartbeat to realize our hands were still clasped together on the center console. Clint followed my gaze and started to pull his hand away. Sorry, I took his hand more firmly. Our eyes met, and for a moment, nothing moved. Words swirled and tangled together inside my head, but my tongue couldn't seem to untangle them enough to speak. Clint seemed to suffer the same fate, so we just stared into each other's eyes, communicating without words instead. So much had happened in such a short amount of time. It was hard to remember the reasons why I'd told him goodbye, especially when it was so clear how much emotion there was left between us. Maybe even love. My heart thumped a little harder.
Are you two going to sit there making goo-goo eyes all night? Celine snapped. You're hogging all the heat, too, by the way, and fogging up the glass.
One corner of Clint's mouth twitched before a smile bloomed. There would be time later to say what needed to be said. All right, Your Grace, I muttered, releasing Clint's hand in order to use the gear shifter. Where are we going? Celine frowned.
I believe I already said we need rest, and that goes for you too, lover boy. Don't think you're getting lucky just because you saved the day back there.
Saved the day? Clint blinked. Wait, was that a compliment? From you, Celine?
I stifled a laugh and moved the car into reverse.
Cherish it always. Oh, believe me, I will.
By the time we pulled into my driveway, Clint had already resolved to stay the night. He insisted I not be left alone, though he did leave long enough to go home and pack a few essentials. In his absence, Celine teased me endlessly about my potential nocturnal activities. For the most part, I let her have her fun. As obnoxious as she was, it was nice to see her smiling. For a brief moment, we could set aside the heaviness and darkness of the rest of the night. By some small miracle, and the threat of reducing her rations to canned tuna for a month, I got her to stop her bawdy jokes by the time Clint returned, and we gathered around my table for the second time that night. We had more information, and maybe even something of a plan this time, but it felt no less bleak. We traded our tea for something a little stronger, digging up a bottle of whiskey from the back of one of my cupboards. It had been there so long I couldn't recall why or when I'd even bought it. It's weird, I began, swirling the contents of my small glass. I thought I would feel more relieved once I knew where Aunt Lavendar was and that she was safe. Clint placed his hand on my forearm, his thumb moving over my skin in reassuring circles.
What if he's bluffing? Celine said. August claims there's this big bad boogeyman that's making him do all this shady stuff. But what if it's all a lie? I mean, for all we know, he could be out there right now, looking to permanently cover his tracks.
He had his chance to finish us off at the shop, Clint pointed out.
Cora might have had the gun, but I've never seen magic like this. It was so fast and so effortless.
He hasn't got what he wants yet, I added.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?